I have two messages here. Admiral Hartman is in the hospital and was not able to be here this morning. And Mr. Marston called that he had to go to a meeting, Select Commission on Western Hemisphere Immigration. So I suppose that's the immigration meeting on the green card holders over in the theater. Wait, they will not be here. Mr. Hahn will be here shortly, according to Mike Schaefer. If there are no comments on the agenda, I mean on the minutes last time, shall we take out the agenda and have a report first on by the agenda committee chairman George Stevens? Is it being recorded through this mic only? Yes.
First, I'd like to say I'm so delighted to see the number of people here, really. I'm very impressed, especially from the Mexican-American community. However, we're going to have to probably apologize to many people in the future because of the facility that would be available for dialogue, and especially because the auditorium takes so much away from the nitty-gritty type discussions that's derived from a dialogue, really. But I think it's very significant that various groups come in from time to time. There's no question about it should take place. But if we're going to have a dialogue, then we're going to have a room by which people can actually look at or see the auditorium type, I believe, on this. So if we can find some other arrangements, it's probably be much better than the auditorium situation. But certainly it's beautiful when people begin to unite themselves and come out as an organization. And I'm very happy for the Mexican-American women that are here this morning with Mr. Science, who came out. It's very beautiful. As we say in the black community, we say black is beautiful. And United Mexican-American Chicanos are black, also beautiful. Thank you. The agenda today for the dialogue report is, first of all, this report on request and our suggestions that were made at previous meetings, and we felt that we have dialogued for a long time now at various meetings, and yet we've never gone back to find out what happened as a result of our dialogue. And we feel it's very significant that we just don't run over things, but we go back and pick up to find out what happened as a result of our dialogue, and was there an education through the dialogue, and was there a change through the dialogue. And number one of these things, the status of the committee to be formed by the mayor to investigate the total city civil service arena, and this was to be done by our mayor, Frank Kern, who said that he would get with the Civil Service Commission to look in ways and means by which he could change the present laws to allow those persons in who have a different culture into the city administration, into the city employment. Two, creation of a new office in city government to research the purpose and help effect change in now existing system. Julian Wise, who's the assistant to the city manager, was going to do this because of the fact that it is felt that the present administration do not know how to effect change or do not know how to investigate a system that it established itself. It takes someone from the outside to recognize the problems with the system that is presently established. So hopefully an office could be established to investigate and weed out the problems that now exist in the city government that discriminates against minorities in getting in. Number three, the status and purpose of adoption by the City Council of a resolution stated by George Byron F. Lindsay regarding the elimination of practice racial discrimination in city government. Councilman Charlie Scheidel and R. Schaefer. These were the two councilmen that were at the previous meeting. That's why their names were mentioned here. The other councilmen were not present, neither was the mayor. So because of this particular area being directed at the council, we hope that those two men would respond to it and be responsible for making a presentation. Because again, this is the purpose of the dialogue, for those that are there to take back to their own organizations or to their own particular phase of city government to bring it to the attention of the other members who may not have been present, some significant factor that was brought out by the minority community that we felt that was detrimental to a change and a needed change within the minority community. Responsibility of top public officials to, one, attend these dialogues in person. It certainly felt as we first started, even though we were not a committee that was going to act on certain laws and make certain decisions, that was agreed at the beginning of the meetings, the first of the agenda, rather, excuse me, the first of the dialogues. However, because of the educational possibility that a person could achieve by being at this meeting, it was definitely significant that the heads of the department who could affect change would be at these meetings. And from time after time, we've made it known to the dialogue that the persons should be there who could affect change within the community. And otherwise, those persons who were in the head offices who could actually do something about a certain situation, the head of the bus company, or the head of the police department, or the head of the city government, which is the mayor, or the head of the manager's office who controls the police chief, the library, the sanitation, the engineering department, et cetera. These are people who could affect change. So hopefully they could be there themselves so that their attitude might be educated. We were trying to educate the attitudes of people. We were trying to change their direction of thinking. So they would it would be hard for another white person to go back and tell another white person what the feelings were there. It would be hard for him to communicate it like a minority could communicate it. So it's necessary for them to hear the problem and discuss with those minority groups directly and indirectly affected all appointments by public officials. This is an area whereby the appointments that are made that affect the lives of the minority community, these appointments, some consideration should be given to that community by which these people are going to work with. In other words, I'm sure that if a person, if it was needed to work directly with the Mexican-American community, for an example, and most of the people to be dealt with in the Mexican-American community could not speak English, I'm sure that the Mexican-American community would be concerned about at least hiring a person that could speak Spanish. I'm sure that this would be a very detrimental thing. And so as with the black community, people that cannot communicate with black people, even though he may be black or he may be white, but there's some black people that just can't communicate with other black people, and the masses are the people who have to be communicated with. Three, understanding and the necessity to be sensitive and responsive to the minority community. An example of this is absence of city manager and police chief at these dialogues, which I said earlier, an appointment of director of police community relations, assistance to Julian Wise, city community relations. For those who may not be familiar, the area in which we're speaking of, a police chief, a new police chief has been appointed with the retirement of the previous one. And also the director of the Police Community Relations Department, a new appointment has been made. Mr. Collin is now a captain, I believe, in another department. They have a new community relations representative at the present time. The assistant to Julian Wise, who is a community relation man, is a new person in there. I believe he is of a retired nature himself from the military service. Therefore, an individual like this many times would be questionable whether or not he could deal with the problem in the minority community today as it's dealt with. Now, we know that that department does not only affect the minority community. We know that it's set up for the whole city of San Diego. However, an important part of the problem in the city of San Diego does deal directly with the minority community. So hopefully a person could be articulate to that community the problems, or understand at least those problems. And certainly this is questionable whether or not, because of that position, a person should not be at least given some consideration in the minority community as to the position of the person filling that particular position. Four, discuss implementations of ideas, suggestions stated in previous meetings and reflected in past minutes of those meetings. We actually went back, Mr. McGuire actually went back at the request of the agenda committee and looked through the minutes of the old meetings that we've had. He did this for the purpose of to try to arrive at some of the things that we discussed before, but no action had ever been taken. And this is very significant, as I said before, because if we're going to dialogue, and as a result of dialogue, and there's no change to be made, then I think this morning we could all adjourn this meeting and go home, because of what we're being said and what is being recorded in the minutes is not being taken to heart and to soul as to put into action, then there's no need of us telling you about what action is necessary, because it's like recording a problem. It's like recording a war, but really nothing is being accomplished by the war, you see. So here we are on a battlefield, we're fighting, and you're recording this war, but you see in reality nothing's being done to accomplish or do anything really effectively to change the situation or to end the war. So if nothing's going to end the problem that we have through dialogues that we're having here, then there's really no need of us dialoguing. And specifically, some of those things were minority bus drivers included in the group bringing buses from the factory. For those of you who may not be familiar with the situation, this is where San Diego, the city, sent men back to Detroit, I believe it was, in Michigan, to get buses for the city of San Diego. And this was much publicity was made about this. And at the particular meeting and going back there, the bus drivers who went back were white. So it would look very beautiful for a city who's getting ready to celebrate its 200th anniversary that some minorities left the city of San Diego, so that someone in Michigan could have said, gee, this looks like somewhat of an all-American city that they professed to be before, because they do have all groups working in various different areas of employment. The 200th anniversary, which we're getting ready to celebrate, and this is very concerned about again, because we feel that maybe there will be many Portuguese that might be celebrated, but a lot of Mexican American and Negroes might be left out, you see, because somehow they get our heritage mixed up. So hopefully that we can be a part of this old situation, Mexican Americans and Negroes, because I believe the two of us, we both came to the city too, along with whites who have been celebrating in the past. Again, the industrial situation, which is not on your agenda here, but at the present time, specifically involving the bus company here in San Diego. From the minority community, there's no direct transportation to the industrial park area, which is a very significant area of employment. The industrial park area includes the area of Balboa Avenue, which is just south of Convair. There is no transportation morning or afternoon to that particular location. Now, we've dialogued about the problems with the bus system, from the drivers, from the management, from the prices, to the little old lady in tennis shoes who should be able to say where the buses should run. But until this point, the change in affecting schedules have not changed yet, but yet we've dialogued on it. So hopefully here that our dialogues in the future and that some of the things we've discussed in the past can be affected, can be acted upon and dealt with. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Thank you, George, for your report. May I add one request of the agenda committee? We were not able yet to get the agendas out to you early. Can we have that meeting next week, George, early, and get them squared away and get them in the mail along with the minutes and so forth? And I think that will expedite our, you know. Right. Yes, I see Mike's hand. Are you on the agenda now? All right. Could you invite her up here and have your meeting up here with us? Yes. Item number 3 on the agenda be discussed first, so Mr. Schaefer may get involved in that. Yeah. Oh, creation of a new office in city government, George, or the other one? Status of a proposed adoption. All right, we have one rather urgent matter. Frank Size, with a large group, will have to leave early, some of them, and he's asked to be on first. You have to be in the meeting at 10:30, is it, Mike? You need only a short time, or should we, you have time for him to get on first, or how do you see your time, Frank? First, and you'll be out. All right. All right, would you? And then we'll get to that item in order to allow you, Mr. Schaefer.
I think that the last time I attended a dialogue, I looked around the room and I saw that there were only two Mexican Americans and no one really representing us insofar as education, employment, discrimination. So I think the attitude was that there were no problems in the Mexican American community. So today, I thought that I would keep a promise that I made last time and say, we are going to show you what we are, what we look like, and that we do have problems in the Mexican-American community. We brought a representative group here today from San Isidro, Chula Vista, Linda Vista, and I think we have a representative here from Neighborhood House. We're not representing, I think, any organization. We're individuals. I don't consider myself a leader in the Mexican-American community, or nor do I feel I speak for them. But I think that it's important that we become aware of this community, the Mexican-American or Latin community, that we pay taxes, that we help construct these buildings, that we believe in government by the people, for the people, not government by a few, for the people, and to the heck with what we think. I think that this morning I had hoped that a few of the women and men in the Mexican-American community, we have representatives from the college and also, I mentioned earlier, from the different agencies, would be able to speak in a very free way in the dialogue. What has happened today, I think, as Mr. Stevens mentioned, is that this is impossible. And I think what we've created here is a situation where we're not going to get any dialogue. I don't know. But I hope that those of us who came today from the Mexican-American community don't feel that they cannot speak that they can come here and they can speak, and that this is a dialogue and it isn't just a group of people talking to us, as has always happened. I think in the past, the Mexican American has been the passive, the docile, the reticent, this type of an image. And our councilman, this was one of the questions that was brought up in that last dialogue, was that there was a feeling that our councilmen were not aware of the problems in the minority groups, particularly the problems of the Mexican American community. They were learning Spanish to negotiate with the Mexican businessman, but they were not learning Spanish to deal with the problems in the barrios or in the urban slums. So today we hope we can point out and make them aware of a few problems that are in our communities. I think that in education, Dr. Palomares had a meeting, along with the GI Forum, had a meeting with Dr. Daylard yesterday, and they had submitted a proposal, just to cite a couple of issues that were brought up in the proposal. For instance, in education, I think all of these mothers have children who are being educated in the schools that our councilmen, that our system, our educational system has set up for our children. But how many of our children are in mentally retarded or special classes, who, instead of getting special treatment as Mexican-American in bilingual education, they are completely cast off? This is one of the questions that was brought up yesterday. Why is it that there is only one bilingual and bicultural counselor in the entire district, when research is consistently bearing out that these individuals consistently not only do better in their roles as counselor, but serve as models for the students? One counselor in San Diego. Why is it that there is no educational program which is specifically designed to teach counselors how to communicate with Mexican-American youngsters? We represent 12% of the community in San Diego County, and I think we get about 1% representation. It's because we have always been known as that type of person who does not talk, who does not speak, who says everything is okay. I think it should be pointed out that there are a few of us who are no longer willing to accept this role. In education, in employment, this is just one. In employment, we had a complete dialogue with Christian in the unemployment department. I don't think we're necessarily here to attack. I think we're trying to make the, again, aware, but I get very emotional and I begin attacking. There was a problem about not having a bilingual person to service the Mexican-American at the employment office. This problem isn't new. At the unemployment insurance office, there is no one there to work with the Mexican-American. Now, it doesn't take a genius to register someone for employment at these offices. I think that we do have Mexican-American people who are qualified to perform this task. Yet, when we write to Regan, when we write to our councilman, I wrote a letter to Councilman Walsh, and I think he had he answered my request and referred it to Councilman Tom. This letter was written the latter part of January, and I still haven't heard from Councilman Hom. I think that this is the same type of attitude we get whenever we make a demand. So I think if it's going to be a group of people who you can see, maybe if you see brown faces often enough, you'll know that we live in the community, and we aren't just the people who are picking up your dishes or the people that you are also seeing in the field, that we are people who have to be reasoned with. The employment office denied the charge that they did have sufficient people there to handle Mexican Americans, and yet the very next day, and I went through the whole system there as an interpreter, there was a person who we sent down, and they picked up this little form, and it says, "You do not speak English well enough. To answer the questions we must ask, please bring an interpreter with you on each visit to this office, someone who speaks both English and your language well." Well, if we're 12% of the community here in San Diego, why don't we have someone who is bilingual to work with this community? Our city officials, I think, as far as the movement, Mexican-American minority is concerned, I think that we've tried, I think time and time again, and they've been able to play us off against each other meaning playing us off, perhaps relating to the black community and the Mexican-American community. I think that in this recent nomination made by the city fathers, city officials, to designate arbitrarily a person to handle a youth program this summer without involving either the black or the brown community was a perfect example of how the black and the brown or Mexican-American community can get together, can apply pressure on the city, on the system, and effect change. I think that the feeling of the city officials or of the people who are in position to make decisions is that they don't want to give up any power, and that they see that this is really becoming a threat to them. I think it's important, again, and I have to say that for the Saiz, for the Padillas, for the Chacons, for the Lopez, for all these Spanish surname, Mexican surnames that you can hear from now on, hopefully we will be a group. If it takes, like Dr. Palomares, he has a little story, I'll end it with this, that a Mexican in Sinaloa sold another Mexican a mule, and he said it was a very, very good mule. Well, the person who bought it found the mule didn't move or didn't do anything. So he went back and complained to the guy who sold him the mule, and the guy says, it's a perfect mule. So he picked up a stick, a 2x4, and hit the mule on the head. And the mule did everything he wanted him to do. He pranced, he did, carried his wood and everything. I don't say that this is the same feeling that we should take to make the council or the system or the structure aware of our problems. But I do feel, and I think that oftentimes I think that this is taken as a very harsh story. But I think that if you hear comments from city representatives, for instance, the negative attitude of one representative yesterday after a constructive dialogue was held with the mayor and constructive decisions were made, that he felt that we were a group of minority people there who were sort of performing a rain dance, and I refer to it as a rain dance theory. We went in and yelled and made our demands, and all of a sudden they had to give up a little power, so he went away mad. But I think that this type of negative attitude on the part of the city officials is going to have to change, and that they're going to have to realize that they're not going to be able to isolate the black or the Mexican-American, that there is some feeling in our community that we are human beings, that we do want educational opportunities, that we do want to go to college, that we do want employment opportunities, that we do want bilingual staff in the agencies in our city. Because why are we going to have a 200th anniversary when we really are not even represented? I understand we have one person who has a Spanish surname who is trying to learn Spanish so that when the officials come that this program is going to be a success. I would hope that anyone, and I mentioned earlier that this is not a very good atmosphere for a dialogue, but if there are people in our group this morning, I think we have still a few minutes. Max Hernandez, our employment specialist at MAC, Mrs. Ramirez, these are all individuals working in the Mexican-American community. Look at these people. These are the people who are living the problems day by day. We're the people who live in Linda Vista. We're the people who live in National City, in San Ysidro, in Chula Vista. Ask us. Don't make your decisions. Involve us. We demand that we be involved. I think that at this time, if there's anyone in the group that we brought this morning who has something to say, say it now. And I think that it goes for Zeke Campos as well as Bert Rivas, as well as anyone here. And this is all that I want to bring up. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Frank. I thought that was very good, and this is bad to have to break in like this because comments should follow naturally. But because Mike Schaefer has to go, if you will just stick around just for a couple of minutes, let's look at item 3 and allow Mike Schaefer to make a response and then get back to those who wish to make a comment. I'm sorry to have to break it this way, but Mike, what about statement 3, please? We're talking about the status of the proposed adoption by the City Council of the resolution stated by Judge Byron F. Lindsley.
Right. Well, first, I want to make one comment on Frank's speech. The selection that he was talking about and the rain dance meeting that he was talking about, I don't think either of those involved the city councilmen yet. This was handled on the mayor's side of the hall, and I'm not putting the whole thing in the mayor's lap, but the mayor gets credit and blame for a lot of things that we don't, and we'll share the credit and the blame when we're involved. I notice you have a meeting scheduled for February 23rd also, Carol. That's the day after Washington's birthday. Maybe a lot of people might be out of town over that weekend. I just wanted to mention that Thursday before the Friday is a holiday.
Thank you.
Now, I've read item 3 here. Now, last night I was at home reading over a bunch of stuff that had come into the office that I took in home to read, and I did go over the resolution that was presented by Judge Lindsay, and I did prepare a memo circulating it to the council this morning, asking that advising the council that I wanted to place it on the docket for February 20th for adoption. So I am asking the council to place this on the docket for February 20th, other city council right here, so that we could take action on it, and we would be able to report to you on the meeting of February 23rd, or if it's continuing to the meeting after February 23rd, we would be able to let you know what happened. So Judge Lindsay's statement, in some form or another, that resolution, which you pointed out, has been discussed by councilmen and the mayor and the district attorney, and many of the officials have met and reworked the thing, so it should be something that we can all support. I think that's going to come up on the docket of the 20th, and if it doesn't, it'll be because I've been rebuffed by the council on my proposal to put it on, and if Councilman Hom and I are rebuffed on trying to put it on, we'll report to you why we were rebuffed and by whom. And I think this will be good to know. So that's what I'm doing now. I was going over this last night, and I have a memo that I drafted, which is being typed up now, asking to cut my council to schedule us for the 20th of February docket action. And then when it's adopted here by the council, it becomes official policy of the city of San Diego.
All right, if you would stand there for a moment or two, some of the regular members of the dialogue might want to make any observation or question. Any of the, let me say, older members of the dialogue wish to have any comment before we ask Judge to give us any observations he might have? We can expect then, I take from what you said. Oh, sorry. Who? Oh, Tom, go ahead.
All right. I think that in the event that the city council does adopt the recommendation, at the same time, some preparation should be made to implement. I know that, for example, if in the housing laws, if you build your house too near the street, that somebody's job is to go out and see that it's too near and in order to tear it down. Now, adopting this policy is well and good. I'm quite sure that will be done. But at the same time, I'm suggesting that an office should be established and given the responsibility of implementing the recommendation, not just from a cut ass.
These are where the specifics I was talking about come in. If you have a specific on this kind of office, put something down in writing on what you think the job should do and whatnot, and we'll put copies in the hands of each councilman, and I'll discuss it with them. If I just go in and talk to them, some of them listen to half of what I say, some listen to a little of it, and some listen to all of it. But if they all have something in their hand, we can get around. I can draft to put whatever you're saying into writing. I can do that for you, but you can do it so much better than I can if you have in mind what you want to do. I'm having dinner tonight with a leader of the Negro community and somebody from the Community Relations Division of the city, and we're going to talk about some of the problems that have been brought up. And any of you who do want to meet over coffee, or I'll drop by your house or your office and talk about this. Not that we're trying to keep the discussion from anyone else, but I can help you write this so that we can get it to look effective, and I can get the council support, because to create any of these things, we've got to have five councilmen say yes. And we don't want to create something that's a 5-4 vote. I don't want a resolution to be passed 5-4. We want to get something that the whole council can support. However, if there's two or three obstinate councilmen who want no trust with it whatsoever, we'll go ahead and put it in and let them stand up and be counted as a negative vote. But I think we can make some progress on this, and if you think we ought to have a new office expanded, I think the city right now is doing a lot of things that they weren't doing 3 years ago. And I do think 3 years from now, the city will be doing some things they're not doing now that are constructive. So I think we're making a little progress, but Rome wasn't built in a day, but it wasn't built in 10,000 years either. I mean, we expect a little action every week.
It seems to me that the, yes.
Mr. Wayman sent me a very fine resolution that had been hammered out about a year ago. He sent me a copy of it this week and sent every member of the council a copy, and that was the resolution I was speaking to. And in his cover letter, he mentioned Judge Lindsay's views on the matter, and that this resolution fit in with Judge Lindsay's theory.
Yes, but his statement is from last time.
I think it's contrary to what he's saying.
Yeah.
Then the possible should do as his committee in reference to education. That if this is the thing that they see that we should stop and the judge decides that we are guilty of racism. They said, now if this has been absorbed by the city council, then you are the body that has now the mandate, then get together with your colleagues and absorb the resolution. And said, this is our policy, and let the various departments figure out how they want to comply with it.
I was, Reverend Oxley, I was going to read over the minutes carefully this morning and see if we can amend the resolution that I got from Ms. Carroll to more reflect the thinking that's contained in these minutes.
I think you were out when you were going to get that to me, but your other colleagues were here and you engaged in dialogue with
yes.
the about this thing.
Page six is the way it is in the minutes. Now I think the first step that can be taken is for the city fathers to draft a most simple resolution that says this city shall not in its government tolerate discrimination, racist discrimination, etc. It's such a simple one-line thing. This city shall not tolerate racial discrimination. It is, right, etc. It goes on. The resolution that Mike is referring to is resolution that was drawn up 2 years ago in 1966 by a group that was the forerunner of this that had already been read over by all the city councilmen, by the city manager's office, by the mayor and all, containing even more than the judge had said. So I simply got out those and sent them to each of you, reminding you that those resolutions had been drafted. A resolution had been drafted earlier.
And nothing had ever come of it.
I know. That's why I sent it back to you.
Right.
Yes, George.
Oh, we have a lot of leaders.
We have several articulate spokesmen who do a very fine job of expressing the thoughts of the people, but we're teaching minority people to lead them.
Right, George. You're so right. I don't think of myself as a white leader. I'm a community leader, and you're a community leader.
I don't know who that leader is.
Well, he's not a Negro. He's not a Negro leader. He's a community leader like yourself.
But he's still a leader.
Well, we all lead somebody, George.
I was interested, Mike, in wondering if you would invite by name a Mexican-American and an Asiatic to attend that meeting along with that beautiful black leader.
Frank, you pay for dinner tonight?
Are you picking up the tab?
Yes.
Oh. You are available, Frank, or someone?
7 o'clock.
Friday night is a bad night, huh?
Well, give me a call.
All right, that will be someone to have dinner with you. You can meet with the city councilman and have that dinner too, right?
Why not?
Mr. Bueno will Enrico Bueno will join with the others. Again, as I said, I apologize for having to break in that way. There are some who wish to make comments before we get back to item two, which is really part of what Mac Junkins was saying. But Judge Lindsley, we haven't called on you with regard to this whole item.
I don't want to make another speech. I do want to say that the responsibility of the resolution, of course, is the city council, not what I said. Those of you who were here last week know that what I said came out of the top of my head and it wasn't prepared in advance. And there's much thinking that could go into it to prepare a more precise resolution. I did submit something to the city attorney, but what I did left all of whereas, this is a now therefore, this is always necessary for a final legal document. We don't have those in it. But I do want to comment on something before Mr. Shaker leaves, Mike, and that is that I want to comment on something he said about you wanted to draw up something that you could have unanimous. Well, we have enough of government by consensus. You don't try to get everybody to agree to it, or you're going to have a bucket of water.
I think you're right. If the law is common enough,
get something that says what should be said, and then
if they're not prepared to adopt it, let them turn it down. Either have something that is meaningful or don't have anything.
Right, right. I agree with you.
Excellent. Any other comments on three? If not, can we move on? And I know some have to leave. Would you, who wishes to join us up here? Any of those who have to leave? Yes, John.
Darrell, I did mention that if the two or three or four councilmen don't like the idea, we're still going to put it on, and they can stand and be counted as a no vote, and at least we'll know how they feel about it.
All right, in keeping with the judge's observation. Thank you, Mike. And as soon as that meeting is over, we'll probably be here at least a little while yet. Helen and the others might join us.
And our meeting 2 weeks hence being on a 4-day holiday, I don't want to say hopefully it will be smaller, but if it is smaller, we can meet in there and have sort of a little family session again.
We're going to take that up for that day since you brought it to our attention. Our stadium, huh?
I'm Ms. Cacho, and I'm from San Isidro, and I brought a few women with me that would like to express their views on the city, because many of these women, it's the first time they've ever even been to the community concourse, and they've never even met their councilman, and it's really a shame, and these people have problems. These people want to be heard, and I think it's the most beautiful thing that has happened, that these women are vocal for the first time, and they want to express to you how they feel. I have Mrs. Zavala that would like to say a few words to you.
Is this all right that way?
Yes.
All right.
I'll turn it around a little bit for you.
Well, as you can see, I'm a grandmother. I had quite a bit of problems when I had my children. And now I would like to have my grandchildren have a better opportunity. And as I have heard, there has been promises about improving San Isidro, especially recreation. And I wish I would have the opportunity before I go to see that realized in recreation facilities and regarding to health too. I wish there would be visiting nurses that will be bilingual, because in my times, if you didn't know a little bit of English, you were lost. You had to find somebody that would interpret, and maybe they wouldn't get the meaning in English. So that I wish it could happen before it is too late, that I would have the pleasure of realizing that dream, because I have lived in San Isidro for over 20 years, and I have been waiting for that time that I can see my grandchildren with better opportunities. Some of my children are not white, and two of my children are white, and I would like to that there won't be any difference with them, because as to now, I have seen some difference with my grandchildren that are not white, and a little bit different with those that are white, but I would like to see the time when there will be no difference between them. Thank you.
There is also another lady here, Mrs. Casares, that would like to say a few words. Mrs. Casares would like to speak in Spanish, so I'll interpret.
Soy la señora Casares. Vivo en San Isidro y quisiera traer a cabo aquí el problema que tiene mi hija, la mayor, y está en una clase especial que creo que no debería estar ahí, y he tratado sola ayudarla y no he podido, estando en una clase especial que no es donde ella debería estar en clases regulares.
Mrs. Cáceres has a problem about a daughter that she has in a mentally retarded class in the Sweetwater School District. She has done all by herself to try to remedy this problem, because she has taken the child to the doctor, and the doctor hasn't found any mental problems with this child.
Espero que ser oída, porque ella está ya en una edad que necesito ayudarla ahorita. Después será muy tarde,
tiene tres años en esa clase y no he podido hacer nada para poder ayudarla. Y creo que hasta es tarde, pero no creo, no quiero que esto vaya a pasar otra, en otra persona o en otra familia, sino remediar esto, porque creo que no hay bastante atención y no es mucho lo que creo que han hecho los profesores por ella.
Mrs. Scott, this daughter has been in a mentally retarded class for 3 years and has not progressed any since the child has been in this class. She wants to do something about it, is not capable or doesn't know the means of doing anything about it, and she feels that the school is not performing as it should be to help her child, and she would not like to see this happen to other children. That's correct. There is a language problem, and there has been a study in San Isidro that Dr. Palomares from San Diego State has made telling us that the Mexican child, because of the language barrier, is always 3 years behind the average child. And this is, and since the school curriculum is not geared to help the Mexican-American child, and they can't, and they don't provide the classes to help them, these individuals, they're put in mentally retarded classes, and not, and this, that means that they just don't progress.
May I ask for clarification from Ms. Chacon's observation that this particular child has been adjudged not to be mentally retarded from the
from
examination?
From a doctor, yes. Mr.
I had one more other comment that Dr. Palomares was one considered mentally retarded too.
Yes, he was a dropout, and they told him he was mentally retarded.
Pues es todo lo que yo traía a cabo aquí y espero que esto no pase en otra familia y menos en nosotros que a veces no comprendemos el inglés y que queremos que se nos ayude. Y pues nunca hay un intérprete, nunca hay nada en las escuelas de modo que uno pueda entender qué es lo que está pasando. Mi hija pasó a esta clase sin saber yo cómo. No hubo papeles de por medio, ni hubo exámenes de doctor. No sé cómo está en esa clase. Son tres años perdidos.
Mrs. Cassidy does not understand how her child even was put into this class because she was put in without her consent. And she doesn't understand how this was done. There were no interpreters to tell her about her child's progress. And this is the one real reason that this is the main reason why the people of San Isidro and of the other Mexican-American communities are not progressing because there isn't any communication between the schools. The main reason that we are here to voice ourselves is because there is a lack of communication. We want to be heard in Spanish or in English. We're ready to move. All we need is the councilman's help. I have been in San Isidro for many years, and I don't even know Tom Hahn. I don't even know what he looks like, except in the paper. And it's sad, because this is part of his community, and he mingles with the people that are not, quote, grassroots. And I hope that this will show him how interested we are, and how we want to move, and how we need his help. Thank you.
Frank, how is your time? You gonna leave now?
Thank you very much, Mr. Wayman. It isn't too often that I have the opportunity to speak in front of a group of people like this, especially some of our esteemed councilmen, even though I do not live in the city of San Diego. I live in the North County at the present time. But I'm a native San Diegan. By the way, I better let you know who I am first. My name is Max Hernandez. I am the job development specialist with the Mexican American Advisory Community, or committee, whichever way you want to put it.
An economic opportunity
yes,
program.
Yes, a delegate agency to the OC. But nevertheless, I'm a native San Diegan, born and raised in San Diego. Sometimes I'm not too proud of this, because I've been to many, many meetings of this nature ever since I was 18 years of age, and I started to become active in the affairs of the Mexican-American community in San Diego County, primarily in the North County. I've had the pleasure of meeting our esteemed mayor, Mr. Coran, who is also from the North County, on various occasions. As to the councilman, I'll admit that I don't know many of them at all, if I do know them at all. But I feel that I can speak of some of the problems here in San Diego County and in San Diego City. Now, as I've mentioned before, I've attended many, many of meetings through the CIC task force, meetings of this nature. That's all that I've heard is promises, resolutions, laws, amendments to resolutions. And up to this point, very, very little has been done. I can say this with authority. I've lived here all my life. I have seen many, many administrations. I have seen many, many city councilmen. I have seen many, many mayors come through this office. They adopted many, many resolutions, laws. There are many of them sitting in the library right now. But a law doesn't mean a damn if you're not going to enforce it. Resolutions don't mean a damn unless you're going to do anything about it. Now, what is the present administration going to do about it? And I don't want you to get the feeling that I'm politicking up here, because I'm not. I do not vote in the city of San Diego. But I am very interested in the people of San Diego. I work here. I am the job development specialist for 5 neighborhood service centers throughout the county of San Diego. We have referred many, many people to the city of San Diego, to work for the city of San Diego. You name the departments, we have sent them there. Up to this point, I don't believe that 0.1% has been hired. Now, if the problem is going to be corrected, and if we're going to go out and start attacking 5, 6 different problems at one time, people, forget it. Concentrate on this one you have right here. If you can't clean this one up and these 13 floors, forget about the other 4. And I'm telling you the truth, and you know this, but are you going to live up to it? Are you going to admit it? Are you going to do anything about it? Let's forget about the 200th anniversary coming up real soon. Just because they give you a holiday for 1 week or 1 day isn't going to solve your problem either. That again is tokenism. Another pat on the back. And I've been getting pat on the backs and pat on the shoulders for 45 years. And yes, you might seem to you like I'm getting a little emotional right now. Well, I am. And I have every reason to be emotional. Because my children are growing up. And to a degree, they're getting the same treatment. They're beginning to wander. They're beginning to think. And it's been pretty hard for me to explain this to them. I try very hard. But to some of them, I'm not getting across. And then we wonder why we're having the troubles that we're having right now. I hope they adopt a resolution that the minorities don't support the 200th anniversary of San Diego, because the city of San Diego does not deserve it. You haven't been fair to a big majority of the minorities here in San Diego. Now, I'm not advocating picket lines, and I know that it's going to be interpreted that way. But I'm saying right here and right now, let's start to do something. Let's cut out all this dialogue. I've criticized CIC, and I'm man enough to do it right in front of them, but not when I get out in that coffee room. That's all that I hear when I go to many, many meetings. What about the Southeast? Now, I want to state right now that I don't begrudge the Negro community, everything that they're getting, or the Negro leaders speaking for their people, more power to you. And I'm not going to say that some of my best friends are Negroes. The black man is my friend, period. I think Judge Stevens, George Stevens can attest to this. Joe McGuire can attest to this. No, some of my best friends are not Negroes. The black man is my friend. I really don't have much to say other than to concur with a few things that Brother Stevens has said here. And many times we've been on opposite sides of the table. But whatever we have to say is that we're together on how we feel and what we want done and what we'd like to do and what we are doing. True to the eyes of a lot of people, it might not seem as too much. But considering what we're faced with, we feel that what we have done, what I have done, I feel that I have accomplished something. And I hope that this body here can accomplish a lot more than what they have accomplished since they started to have these meetings. And I hope that we get through with all this dialogue and let's start having some action, because this is what is needed. Thank you very much.
Two at one time, I see. You're out. Come on up, and she will, I'm sure, defer and let you rest up a minute. Go right ahead.
I think that's all right.
My name is Ana Ramirez, and I represent Linda Vista. I work for the Neighborhood Service Center. We have a mother's club of 35 members. And I want to apologize to the city fathers because we came over here about 3 weeks ago, 23 mothers and myself. We came here to a tour of the concourse, and then we decided to say hello to the mayor. The mayor, he was very busy, and we had to make an appointment. I know that we had to make an appointment, but the only thing, we just want to say hi and goodbye. Well, we feel in the Latin countries, when we want to see a public official, we just go and see him. I know here that we have to make an appointment. Well, we feel very bad about this case. And this way, well, I apologize again. I represent these mothers, and there's quite a few of them here today. We have lots and lots of problems in Linda Vista. Especially, we have big families. Some of the fathers, they're not working. They had to go to welfare. If these people, they have the opportunity, if they have a chance, they're good workers. They're hard workers. The only thing we ask for, just give us a little chance. Try to get us a little more jobs. And something else too about the schools, the public schools, they're wonderful. But we Latin people, we don't have a chance. I have this girl, she's 16 years old. She came to my office and she says, Mrs. Ramirez, I want to quit my school. I says, how come? She says, well, I want to go to work. I can afford to buy clothes, shoes. There is 6 more children in her family. Well, I said, well, let me think a little while. Then what I did, I called Mr. McCune, one of the teachers, and I invited him over right away, and he did. He came over. I explained the situation. He says, well, this girl, she's not doing good in school. If she wants, it's all right. I says, well, I'm going to try to see if I can find her a job. I took her to NYC. She put an application. She qualified. But then we went back to the office, and I told her, go back to school tomorrow and next day and finish this week. And then you come back and see me. She called me yesterday, and she changed her mind. She says, I better stay in school. I find out what communication. This girl, she's not doing so good in school. It's because she don't understand. I have another family yesterday. She called And she says, Mrs. Ramirez, I'm having trouble with my 15-year-old girl. I says, what's the problem? And she says, well, she's trying math. She asked one of the teachers to explain math to her. I guess the teacher, well, she says, well, you have to do it on your own. Then I call the teacher. And she says, well, this is her excuse. And I hope, and I wish, and I pray that San Diego give us a little chance to all these poor people, or all of us. You see, San Diego is growing. It's in a city of motion. I'm very proud of it, but let's start from down. Let's try to have a chance to all these poor people. And then all these people, they will help. They will be proud. We don't want to be a burden to society. We want to be proud of our city. And right now, lots of these mothers, they're willing to leave their children home and go and get a job to try to help their husband. A family of eight, they're making only $200 a month. How are these people going to live? They even can afford to pay the rent to feed those children. Why today we have so many delinquency? Let's go to these houses and find out. We're sure this boy, he don't want to go to school because he don't have a decent pair of shoes or a decent pair of pants to go. He's very ashamed. In a way, I don't blame them. Some of these kids, they want to go to work too. And the only thing I ask to the student fathers is just to give us a chance to try to prove ourselves. And I know they will be very proud of us too. Thank you.
Soy la señora Munguía de San Isidro.
This is Mrs. Munguía from San Isidro.
Yo el problema que les quiero exponer es por el que estamos pasando la mayoría de las madres que tenemos hijos ya de 18 años para arriba, de que no tenemos en San Isidro un salón como lo tienen los niños pequeños donde juegan. Allí en el Civic Center hay un salón donde juegan todos los niños pequeños, pero ustedes deben de comprender que los grandes no quieren estar donde están los niños pequeños. Ellos quieren un lugar aparte para ellos, y eso no lo tenemos.
She wants to express the problem that the mothers that have children over 18 years old, we have a recreation center in San Isidro that caters mostly to the young children and not enough to the teenager. The teenager needs a facility for themselves to have recreation.
Otro de los problemas que yo creo que es muy grave es el poco alumbrado que tenemos. No hay suficiente luz, hay calles que francamente no se pueden transitar ya oscureciendo. Creo yo que ese es un problema muy grave.
Another problem she thinks is very crucial is that there is not enough lighting in the streets for the children to walk in during the evening.
Eso es todo.
That's all. Okay. I would like to say something in regards to what Mrs. Ramirez said. Don't give us a chance, a little chance. Give us the opportunities that we should have. Thank you.
Well, I thank all of you for your comments and observations. Sorry you got to leave, some of you, but I hope you can come back, and I hope you don't stop here. I hope you call on all the agencies, individuals, city councilmen, mayors, board of supervisors. I hope you keep going to them individually and letting them hear you as you have spoken so eloquently this morning. Go to them in person and sit there until you can get to see them and let them know how you feel and what your problems are. We're going to continue to work on them here. Would you come back, please? Thank you. Yes, George?
Reflection on them. That's a reflection on the council.
And in the center city area, for an example, which goes by on the map a little straight line way down, then stretch out from the border, is a fourth councilmatic district with Mr. Hunt. Mr. Hahn himself can have an office in that area because of the distance from the area in which is the majority of the district in. I would like for this group and all the groups who have counseling in that specific area, especially as it relates to Linda Vincent, San Ezequiel, Otay area, and those three particular areas, request that the councilman, not later on next week, when you go back today, call the councilman's office and ask them for a meeting with the mothers in the community or the parents in the community in which you live. Right now, I do that this morning, that should be a month. And then the second meeting should be called with the mayor. And ask for a meeting for him, not you come down here. No, bring him out there. Let him walk down the street with you and see the broken glass in the window. Let him come out there at 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening when it's dark and see no light while the young girls don't have to walk home by themselves. Logan Heights was the same way before. Until black people started raising hell and breaking bottles so the police department couldn't see them while they were going, they put more lights up there.
I would like to make one comment before the mothers go. I'm sorry. The jack-in-the-box effect here. I'm listening to the comments that the parents were saying, were making about education, and I'll be the first to agree. I think our schools have a long way to go. However, I have seen some wonderful things that are happening throughout San Diego County. I have seen it in San Ysidro when the parents have gotten together. Recently, I have seen this going on when the parents have gotten together and have gotten their own adult education classes. I've seen some of these things. We have a long way to go. San Diego City Schools are starting classes for these children. We have a long way to go. However, I think the spirit that we're entering into these negotiations with Dr. Daylert and the powers to be are positive ones. Dr. Daylert and certainly the other administrators have given us positive ways that we can go. They're listening to us. We have a long way to go. Hopefully, with the continued support of the parents throughout San Diego County, and the parents letting their problems be known, we can accomplish these things. I was highly pleased by the comments that are coming from these mothers, the things about schooling and so forth. And I dare say that any administrator, any school official listening, is going to listen to these comments, and hopefully he's going to do something about it. Councilman Schaefer said something about Rome wasn't built in a day. Okay, let's take it from there. Forget what happened yesterday. Let's look for tomorrow and the day after. If I could give you that answer, I would have a halo above my head.
Mrs. Cohn? I think that
Mr. Thomas Del Campo, is here to pacify. I do not think he is talking on the side of the people that need help, and I would like that address.
While they are moving out, would some of you move up, please, and take their places? No, you come up front. We have agenda items here. We have not yet approached. Shall we go back and look at item one, please, on the agenda? The status of the committee to be formed by the mayor to investigate the total city civil service arena. Make friends. The mayor's in the back. I'm wondering, Mayor, if you could give us a progress report on the investigation or the committee or your approach to having the civil service system looked at, please. Is there any new progress made there? Mayor, could you come up here so that we could get this on the? It won't be picked up.
Thank you, Mayor. Mrs. Waite, would you like to make any additional observations at this time? Observations, comments? George? On that? All right. Have you considered a committee per se and forming that committee to do something specific? Are you in the talking stages and we'll get to the planning stage?
We're in the talking stage at the moment. One thing we have done is in our own office, which we think will help as far as testing and the psychological effect of examinations, is that we are printing up exam instructions and examples of the different kinds of test questions, which will be given out when a person applies for a job so that they can take it home and familiarize themselves with the kind of situation they're going into, so that when they come in to take the test, they are not going to be faced with an instruction which perhaps needs interpretation to them, and they will have an opportunity. These will be ready for printing 12,000 copies of this, so these will be distributed with applications.
May I ask, are these printed also in Spanish? All right, we will be calling on you then, I suppose, from time to time to get progress report and see exactly what's going on. I think you have a great body of people here who can be of assistance in all of these phases, and we'd like to work closely with it. Any other? Yes. We'll get with her and find out as she goes on. She says they're in the talking stage now. Rosemary?
Carol, I wonder what is being done about the next level integration mentioned last time, which would indicate that, the test is new, last can pass the test and twice, but if they don't get chosen, the test doesn't make any difference. Is there some specifics now zeroing in on this problem? I think to some extent, 5 years ago, the city manager and I, Mr. Fletcher, sent out a letter to all city employees. There will be a letter going with the paychecks on March 1st, signed by Mr. Walter Hahn and myself, to this effect. To all city employees from the Civil Service Commission and the city manager, subject non-discrimination. For more than 50 years, the policy of the city of San Diego has been and still is, there shall be no discrimination in this agency because of race, religion, or political affiliation. Every applicant employee shall have equal opportunity for employment and promotion, and for the attainment of civil service tenure, equal working conditions, and common privileges. We realize that some people may have personal prejudices, but we do not expect city employees to allow any prejudices to govern their actions, either toward the public or toward fellow employees. We want to make it very clear to every officer and employee of the City of San Diego that any discriminatory act contrary to this policy will be cause for appropriate disciplinary action.
May I follow that with, to tie that in with two, item number two, and with what Tomac Johnson mentioned earlier and what has been referred to several times. May I ask, in terms of implementing that statement that will go out, may I ask, has any thought yet been given to what that means in terms of follow-up, discipline, detection, review, supervision, sensitivity training for those employees? How have you yet begun to talk about what it means in terms of that particular supervisor or that particular department head or the person involved? Judge? There have been much talk about it. We've drawn up all kinds of programs, and we are too. We also are pushing for all kinds of, call it dialogue, sensitivity training, and service on employment and others for all levels of city, county, and other governmental units in San Diego. And we'll push to see if we can follow up this with some kind of meaningful way of doing it. Mr. Williams, Leon. The louder list.
Manager ought to contain some statement pertaining to follow in the area where he says it has been the policy of the city for 50 years to not have to commit to that. There ought to be some statement to the effect that it's evident by the lack of employment now in the city government of minority people that this policy has not been followed, and that in order to be to make it evident that the policy is followed, we expect to see in live people of minorities.
Yes. I think, again, let me say for the body here, the group that's been meeting with many minorities here, some who are very knowledgeable in the area of testing, some minorities in the community have many credentials in testing and from 5 to 20 years in test construction, test evaluation in the minority community here. I think that what I'm saying is we'd like to offer this kind of expertise among ourselves, as well as with those in the community whom we know, to sit down with those in the city, civil service, along with those from the TAC, T-A-C-T that is, from the state level, with whom we have personally worked, and it happens that some of our recommendations are in that TAC group. We work with that group. I'm trying to say that following Leon and the other observations, there are some in the community who can perhaps be very helpful to the city group, civil service, etc., in putting teeth into that in a meaningful way. Joe? Yes, the complete selection procedure and the whole thing. Two really is tied in with what has been observed here. A couple of times, Mike Johnson first raised it, alluded to it. It's the creation of a new office in city government to research, propose, and help effect this kind of change. Really, that's what we're talking about with regard to Mrs. Waite's observations, with regard to the resolution that may be adopted, with regard to any kind of change to reach at some of these problems. They're really talking about, is there an office, is there a person, is the responsibility tied down to effect that change and help those who would change? Glenn, did you want to speak to that?
Well, to annoy some of the discussion that went into that. This was to be a report from the city. The proposition was made, and like these other things, we want to know what has been the result. We have learned the person since they are talking about it, and that some additional help has been offered to them, that they have in their talking about it, and setting the precedent in motion, have still not really been sensitive to, at least in my mind, the problems of Mexican-American communities, and 12,000 were all living in England. That kind of thought, which pushes the button, which starts the presses, without first checking to see that the press is also written a language understood by the people, is the important thing we're talking about. That's why that was mentioned the first place. And we have example after example after example, it seems to me, where change is needed, where the existing agencies agree or concur, they put in changes which already automatically show they do not understand what's being said. They are still insensitive to it. They know how to make the presses turn, but they don't really understand the true term, and to make them effective, they have to speak in the language of the people, that status or whatever it is. And that was the reason this suggestion was made, because all these things show, at least in my mind, that the city needs help and big help in this, and whoever is doing it still hasn't got that kind of fine ear to hear it. That before they start the presses, before they order 12,000, someone should be charged with the specific responsibility of saying, what is the effect of that, and of that particular policy, on the existing racism in San Diego City and County? And after they made that check, one of the things that is immediately obvious is the kind of question which raises that within the dialogue. Is it printed in Spanish? And someone says, I forgot. It's that kind of thing which has to be brought to the attention before the order goes up. So all I'm saying is that we have, and we want to know what Mr. Wise has got to say, because Mr. Wise's office is the office which we repeatedly appointed to, is at least one visible place that would have that kind of sense of they should exist. Well, it doesn't always come to question, it should exist. So where's Mr. Wise in support?
Is anyone here at all from? I don't see anyone, except the new assistant. Oh, there's Mary. I was looking for you. I'm sorry, Mary. May we expect also another follow-up report at the next meeting? Yes. Doesn't matter? Well, I think that's a good point to clear up. What I'm hearing over here is it's independent, really, of the resolution per se, that these but were examples of the kinds of things that have been talked about and that are specific that such an office could initiate and begin. But it's really beyond and above that, that regardless of whether the resolution is adopted, there is a need for this kind of office from the author of the offer, that the changes are still needed, and that they don't come necessarily from any one department. Mary? Is the creation of such an office, the talking stage you were talking about, is its establishment dependent upon what happens with regard to the resolution or with regard to the civil service? And where?
Lynn? Judge?
This is the significance of what I was trying to say last week. Until father says this is the way it's going to be, the children aren't going to do it. And it's important, therefore, that the city council adopt a meaningful resolution that spells out in precise and clear detail what the policy of the city is, so that the employees, the supervisors, and the heads of the department know whether they go to battle armed with feathers or something useful.
Rosemary, does that clarify what you were concerned with? That it has not been decided. Its existence to establish it has not yet been decided.
Yes.
Any other observations on that? I would be concerned, too, that before the next dialogue session, whenever it be, that we do receive some, or at that meeting, some kind of specific status report on it. We've discussed it. Will it be established? Will it not be established? We don't know yet, or it's in the talking stages or what have you. And if you'll bring that back, Mary, this time we'll pinpoint Julian and get something specific. If you need help, I'll help put pins in him. Are there any other comments on 1, 2, or 3? May I then branch off for a moment and say that it was pointed out that the 23rd of this month is the day after a holiday, the 22nd. What about that dialogue that Friday? Shall we have it? Seems to me it's just a one-day holiday. Is there any comment to the contrary, that we should not have it? If not, then we'll leave it like it is and have it the 23rd. Number 3, how's your time? Oh, we have a few. All right, have a couple more minutes yet. Number 3, responsibility of top officials to, first, attend these dialogues in person. 2, discuss with those minority groups directly and indirectly affected all appointments by public officials. 3, to understand the necessity to be sensitive and responsive to the minority community. Many of these things have been alluded to or touched upon already. Some examples are given there. Absence of the city manager and the police chief at these dialogues. Appointment of director, police community relations. Appointment of assistant to Julian Wise, city community relations. This has come up many, many times, and it's a follow-up, I suppose, a follow-through, as mentioned earlier, about the establishment of the office. It would be a natural here. We're open now to discuss number 3. Not why you're here instead of the chief of police, but why isn't the police chief here?
Always be here. And we have effective change, and I think we'll bring many more.
apologize for the appointment of Lieutenant Davis to take Lieutenant Collins' place as the community relations director for the National Security Department. We recognize and feel that Bill Collins did an outstanding job. I hope you feel the same way. He taught us much in the field of community relations that we want to do at all. And not only from this dialogue, but from others. He is an intelligent young man. He probably realized that he has come up for promotion. Promoted even as he thought he should, and thinking about it, I think he's going to serve the purpose of community relations better now in the new job that takes on, because he will be a patrol captain. Where he is in a prime opportunity to relate to all of the men in the field. But the problem is, how is it detected? And to detect any act of racial discrimination, where does it occur? And decidedly, in two ways of understanding, we have to see law enforcement and the party members. Now we come to who do we appoint as successors. Now this is not a commission where we can go out into the community and select someone. We must remain within the civil service rules. We must remain within our hierarchy of ranking. This job has set up an organization structure called the lieutenant. A lot of thought, a lot of meetings went into selecting Lieutenant John Davis for this job. One thing, he comes right from patrol. Has been a field command leader in the field, not a deputy, but out in the field, seeing what the problems are. He's seen the mistakes that we've made. He's seen the mistakes that you've made. He's seen the lack of understanding between both sides. Now, we have selected him for this job to learn what all of the problems are. Listen to you people here. Listen to all minority group members. Trying to get a better understanding of this for being in relation. And I think he will see more of this rotation type of thing in all of our higher commands so that we can all become more familiar with the problem in the community. We're aware that this racial thing is top. It's got to be the most important thing in the nation. And certainly is very important to our city. Wrote and his feet was finding his feet on the ground. He took over a very big, very important job. The final question that is in his mind is the community-related problem. We discussed it at great length. And today we have several people here. Bill, Captain Bill Collins, I'm very proud and pleased to say that. And we have Don Davis, and newly appointed Inspector Jim Canola Services. Along this line, and trying to get one of our people involved, you know, the Sergeant Brown, who was formerly with the relations, he was the lieutenant, he is now working in the patrol division, and in his place, he is appointed Sergeant Guadalupe, who was a Mexican American. As a result of these meetings, very recent development that I can report to you. Checking with civil service, we find that we are not getting enough Mexican American policemen, particularly Spanish speaking policemen. This is very important because it is, as been pointed out several times today, the religious language there. From our side, we misunderstand and we can't make ourselves understood in certain areas. We feel it is important to have more Mexican policemen. He wondered why we didn't get them. He finds that it wasn't a question not to pass an examination, they weren't applying. So now I've contacted the Department of Justice, Bill Campbell. We are trying to get into Mexican American Association to bring young officers before them to try to recruit more from this particular area. Secondly, we are in the process of having educators interpret or assistant Trumbleberg, to put this job announcement in the Spanish language so that we can get to the homes, to the mothers, the fathers, who probably are basically Spanish people, so that they can encourage their young people coming up to go into law enforcement. It is a good procedure. Pay is good. Big deal for a young man. We're getting more and more Negroes in the department.
All right, John? George?
Yes, I sent you the second floor for the remark on the, first of all, on the President's chief, which were two different comments made on the President's chief
I did not want Bill to get the understanding that we did not respect his presence or did not respect his valid way, I believe, in the past in which he has made attempts to clarify or rectify situations that have occurred as a result of the dialogue from as relates to the involvement of the employee community relationship. In fact, I think he himself, I have found to be a very sincere individual, which is drawn out of my meeting and the dialogue. So this is not to reflect upon his, he being able to be here to represent the chief. But as I said previously, the intent of the dialogue is to change, get attitude change, generally, as an educational aspect. Because this is a priority situation we're in as it relates to the community relations department and the police department directly with the community. Because it's a known fact that almost every riot that has started throughout the United States to date has started as a confrontation between the police department and the community, almost every one. So it's significant. And this is the reason why this particular item was placed on the agenda this night. It was not, certainly not disrespectful and So, now, if a department person representing a department, any department, comes here with the authority to go back and affect change within an organization, then I respect that individual being here. In other words, you could send Sergeant so-and-so to represent the police department. If Sergeant so-and-so is going to articulate the problem and get a change within the police department, then you could send a staff, this is my concern.
But we found that many times at the NIPA department, we find individuals using the lack of presence of the chief in the presence of an assistant as an excusable situation for not doing something. So therefore, when we go back to find out what should have happened, it begins to become a basketball situation, you know, a shot from goal to goal. So this is what we're trying to eliminate. So if the Inspector Gore has the authority to effect change as it relates to the conversation that's taking place here, then he can, that's fine, then the chief don't ever have to show up here. But as long as that change takes place, this is what I would like very much for the chief to be here myself, because of educational purposes. I think this would be very good for him, because perhaps Inspector Gore might interpret a different way than what he said. Maybe the chief might get a different interpretation. I don't know. Okay, and secondly, on the new appointment of the Communication Division, in all due respect to Captain Collier, who, in fact, comments on Imperial yesterday afternoon was that they may have felt that some of them felt that maybe he's doing too good of a job. Maybe that's why they moved him. I mean, otherwise, all this is a comment. This is a compliment to Bill, who has done really a very outstanding job. It's a very hard job. Community relations is hard if you work with all whites. It's hard. We know that. And then especially working between blacks, Mexican Americans, and minorities, it's very hard. So, but the specific item on this particular one was in that a significant incident took place in the community that related to poor community relations just prior to the appointment of the new Lieutenant Davis here, and not being able to recognize a particular situation. And this is where the comment came from, is to, this was the same man that arrested two young black militant leaders who was at a riotous situation at Johnford High School a few weeks ago to try to curtail the problem, and this man was the individual who said, take him to jail. So certainly the black community's got a question. I got a question. Now whether this is a personal thing or a business thing, I don't know. What I'm saying is, it's a concern. It's a concern. It's the same as the officer who made the arrest of some young men after James Brown dance went out on Imperial Avenue, because the same officer has been asked to be transferred to another area because of his attitude toward black people. So when these things don't change, or when we see the same pattern starting all over again, it certainly is cause for alarm. And this is why the question about the new appointment and consideration, as Mr. Billings said, certainly, we're not going to tell you who to appoint down there. That's not the authority. But certainly, we don't tell the councilman, they can vote the way they want to when they get up here. But the feelings of the people have something to do with the way they vote when they get up here. The feelings of the people have something to do with the way our administrative officers function, because they have said that they're there to perform in behalf of the people. Now, if you're going to go there and do what you want to do, then really you're not going there and perform in behalf of the people. So this is why the concern for, at least from a standpoint of consideration or talking to or expressing to before the decision is made. That's the only reason. No, we don't want to run into problems. We don't want to say that you're here, Inspector Gore, because you don't know the problem and you shouldn't be here. No, certainly, I feel, as I said it before, that your attitude here, I believe, is one of very significant and very valid.
Joe?
I think narrowing it down a little further. What George said and what John said, they might have said one other thing. I think it was a consensus opinion of the agenda committee on the two agenda items, number one. If Inspector Gore, indeed, the representative of the police department, we're the man who actually selects the new appointees. Then we would have felt a little feeling that he would have taken advantage of the dialogue and said, we will talk to the community prior to the election. But by the fact that Chief Rose does not attend the dialogue, thus he's not aware that this particular problem may exist, he would definitely not consult the community prior to the election of the appointees. Secondly, I would like also to add the fact that Bill Cotter, as John said, wore pretty big shoes. He put down a pretty good footprint. And so they have a pretty good hand to walk in. Thank you.
All right, Glenn.
Well, it seems to me that part of the focus of this has gotten off to some kind of polarization again on the part of the demand on the part of the community and not hearing on the part of the established agency. My concern is much more with opportunities missed
that somehow they have not seen each of these occasions to put into effect what they say they want to practice. This is the important thing. Here is a chance. We've got a new police chief, a new day, and we're in here, very pleasant around the neighborhood here, not once. It's an opportunity to say, I dignify this group, I acknowledge this group, it is some kind of summit, it has some kind of meaning. I realize that cannot be here every time. That is why I've appointed Lieutenant Gordon to attend for me. There is importance in continuity, I recognize it. But nevertheless, I acknowledge this is significant, it means something to me, it means something because I'm here. Here's an opportunity when he sees the initiative and says, there, it's an important thing to do. Top priority. Same thing is true of these appointments. It's not so much the polarization back and forth that so far they have not seen them as opportunities. No matter how important it was, simply fix the beginning. If the rules were all set in motion that they chose because they had to choose them. Nevertheless, it's an opportunity to demonstrate an attitude of concern, of really realizing and dignifying that what people have to say is important in the decision, no matter if the decision is already fixed. You can explain it to them beforehand and not after. Always this business of a day late and a dollar short, always being the explainer is the explainer, rather than an attitude of consultation beforehand. And this is what I was trying to get across, because sensitivity to see and seize them with opportunity to demonstrate what you stand, and not always be in the position. I hate to see someone in the position having to say, gee whiz, you're right, they should have. You know, and to see you and your wife in the same position, gee whiz, they didn't even ask you, they should have. That's the wrong stance. The stance is to acknowledge and to say, this is important, how can we make the best of the opportunity, help us guide us. This is a thing of getting ahead of this problem and not always being kind. And as long as you're digging a hole this way, you're going to stay in the hole that way. As long as you don't see this opportunity to walk out to it, let me tell you, you're going to make mistake after mistake after mistake. And we don't have that kind of time for those kind of mistakes.
May I, as chairman, and since this committee, this item has come up many times, I'd like to express my frustration once. I don't think it's very important who is appointed to what, as Glenn has just said, as related to some of the other remarks. I sit in the agenda meetings and I listen to the discussion. This time I did not take part, of course, in any of the formulation. In fact, I walked through the room a couple of times because I was too busy even to stop this time. But the discussion was heated again. It has been heated. We fought this item out here time after time. It has nothing really to do with people, that is, the personalities appointed. It has to do with this other thing that we keep harping on here. And each time it has come up at this meeting, I have felt the same way. Namely, that do people count? Are people important? How do you dignify people's presence? How do you dignify the existence of a black, brown, or yellow man? Is it the existence that disturbs people? Can't we just say simply, let's sit down and talk about something? It has nothing to do with whether that person is qualified or unqualified at that time. Can we sit and talk about it? I see these two as opportunities missed. And I think we have a vast resource in the community to sit down and talk. Just talk. I'm not saying that anything will come of it other than simply when people talk, we begin to realize that people are people and the color soon goes out of the door. In this community, we have the kind of opportunity to seize upon these opportunities and chances to call people together and call on each other at lunchtime or what have you to say, we are concerned. With regard to the public officials here, it seems to me that I cannot find an excuse in my heart, really, for not having top public officials here once in a while if to say no other than, I wish I could be here, I've got to go, I have a meeting. We do that in everything else, in every facet of our behavior, every facet of community activity, we do that. And here we have the most important item ever faced in America, and we still find that public officials still say they cannot be here. Being in the position I'm in, I know many activities that they engage in. I know what many of the agendas are for the city councilmen and others. I can find no reasonable excuse, really, for their not being here more often than they are, and county supervisors for not being here. Not every Friday, not every other Friday, not every meeting. That's impossible for some of us. But following what Glenn has said, you dignify or you raise to the level of importance and activity many times by the presence, your presence there. That's all that's required here. But to consistently say that someone lower than the top official must attend without that top official ever being present, to me again is an indignity that bothers me both personally and professionally, and I'm sure I capture the feelings of the group that has expressed this time and time again. That's my frustration as the chairman.
Yeah.
Bill. Steve?
I have one word that will cover everything I just said. Just one word. Dick Gregory, who's one of the biggest slum areas in this country, Chicago, said it throughout the Christian Science Mind interview that he was about 2 weeks ago. He said it's one thing, and that's the insult which white people give to black people. The insult. That's the problem. The insult. You insult me every day. You insult me here. You insult me in the farm. You insult me in the school. You insult me when you make the appointments at City Hall and Mayor's office, your convention, your social party. One word. Continue. You can't stop.
I think the other items there, the other two items on the back, page 2, follow what we have been saying. They are examples. And since we're over time, I would suggest that we go on and forget them today, come back to them in proper time. May I again urge George to have your meeting early so you can get the agendas out early this time. Possibly next week, if you can, by Tuesday or Wednesday, and then we'll have the following week to get all the communications going. Are there any other comments? May I again thank so many for coming. You have a comment?
I have a comment, Carol, but I don't know if it's something that could come up with the agenda item, something to be done by the dialogue, and still that we can do whatever we want with it. I think another item I submit, a very short item in the paper a few days ago, it indicated that the school board, and I think that this is another reason we should be trying to get into the table here, or let it be known what the provision is. The school board could not even respond to a request by George Smith to take a condition of non-concurrence with this razor pamphlet entitled How Schools Be Segregated to Your Work. And they could not even adopt a policy statement to say they did not concur with it. Now, I think this is something that should be taken up in dialogue, or something should be considered handled in some way, because I think this is extremely important.
I think so, too, and since our office is deeply involved in that, I suggest that you bring it to the attention of the agenda committee so that others listening today will be able to fit into proper perspective this whole issue. Today, I don't think we have time to go into it, but we can have some pamphlets, and the agenda committee can consider it whichever way it wishes. Again, thanks for coming. See you 2 weeks from now. Did the roster come back? Mayor, you got the roster? You got the roster? It's here somewhere. Good. Thank you. What is that? Oh, you are on it. Did you get on that roster, Mayor? Hey, Ed.
Yeah.
Glad you made it. We had one hell of a one. Clarence, you missed one 2 weeks ago that was out of this world. Oh, man, we got it. But this is a good one. This book is trying to do some kind of way so the ordinary people can see, but we can get those public officials. And they can be here now. Exactly. If anybody, as I say, if I can be here today, all day yesterday, I was in the office 45 minutes, an hour yesterday. Hi.